Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Be sure to go to the website. Check out what people... Well, join the chat room, for one thing. You meet a lot of good people on there. And be sure to go and look at the advertised products up at the top of the page. And if you got something for sale, feel free to pick up one of the advertising slots. They're really cheap compared to anywhere else. And as always, if you got some change burning a hole in your pocket, hit the donation button up at the top, very top of the page, and send it our way. We are 100% listener supported and need all your help to keep us on the air. Because mainstream media is not telling you the truth, as always. And I am coming to you once again from behind the Iron Curtain in the Constitution-free zone known as California. But I think I'm going to have to amend that, though. I think I'm going to have to change that, because right now, especially over the last couple of months, I can't just say the Constitution-free zone known as California, because as it stands right now, the entire country is Constitution-free under this administration. They've done every unconstitutional thing you could possibly think of in the span of 2 months that you could probably accomplish within 2 months. They're coming for your guns. Don't think they're not. They're trying to censor conservatives. They're going after Trump supporters for anything and everything. And, of course, they're doing these mandatory lockdowns and continuing on with them, especially in the blue states with the blue governors. The one who, by the way, is looking at an impeachment. Another one who is looking at a recall. And another one who is looking at jail time. So, now I don't know. This seems like to me like the Democrats really got it going on. And it's not that the, not for lack of trying on the Republicans' part. I'm sorry. It is for lack of trying on the Republicans' part, because they're part of the whole thing too. But before I get into a lot of the things I was going to, subject I was going to start getting on, you know, there's the gun control, the COVID, all the regular stuff in the news cycle. Plus, I want to get into the second part of Richard McDonald's lecture that I played part of last week. I'm going to finish up on that. Before I get into any of that, I was watching a video this afternoon. It was Jackie Martling, Billy West, and Stuttering John Melendez getting together and basically shooting the breeze for a little while. And if you don't know who they are, they were on the Howard Stern radio show when Howard Stern was in its heyday. I mean, when it was a juggernaut running across the radio stations. So they were sitting around the table, you know, while it was all being recorded and everything. And they were talking about, you know, the people that they worked for, you know, not just Howard and all that, but, you know, some of the station managers and the people that they worked for. And one of them who really got on their nerves. And Billy West came up with a pretty good analogy on that. And I'll explain to you what the analogy is. But he had a pretty good saying with the guy. They put one of the most unfun people in charge of fun. Because if you ever listened to Howard Stern's show back in the day, it was absolutely hilarious. I mean, I couldn't get enough of it. It was just damn funny. It's all become kind of mundane since then. But back in the day, it was really funny. And they put this guy, I think he was a program director or something, or a station manager. You know, I'm not familiar with their management staff, but Billy West said it right. They put the most unfun guy in charge of all the fun. And listening to them go on and on and on about this guy and whatever, it kind of occurred to me that that's kind of the state of the U.S. right now, if you think about it. And this is where the analogy part comes in. Okay, we have one of the most unfree governments, freedom-hating governments in charge of our freedom. And when you think, look at what they're doing. Number one, they're ripping us off. Our own government is stealing money from us left, right, and center. Oh, we're going to give you $1,400, but that, in the long run, is going to cost you about $17,000 per individual. Because, you know, we're sending all this money overseas, and we got all these other cronies that we have to grease, and then they have to kick some money back to the people in Congress and all of that. So the 1.9 stimulus bill. By the way, I got a letter for mine. It's not $1,400. And now they're talking about doing another budget package for $2 to $3 trillion. They have no qualms about economically breaking the back of this country, curtailing all your freedoms, all your God-given rights enumerated in the Constitution, basically just lording over you as, excuse me, damn, give me a second. I don't know what that was, but I got something caught in my throat. But they're lording over you like you didn't elect them. By the way, I'll get onto that in a second too. But lording over you like you didn't elect them, and that they belong there because they are the new kings, queens, dukes, earls, and whatever other royalty class that there are. These people have been in Congress, in our government, in one form or another, for decades, and the problem only seems to be getting worse. Doesn't matter, you know, the hell with the parties. I get on both of them. I hate both of them. Regardless of party, the country does not seem to be moving into a constitutional direction. One guy tried, and they got tried to get rid of him as quickly as possible. Another guy tried years ago, and he took a car ride through Dallas with a top down. You want to know what happened to him? So it's really kind of oxymoronic that anybody at this point would even bother to go vote. I'm not going to do it again. The vote's rigged. The outcome's already been predetermined with the example of November and then the Georgia second election when they had to do the runoff. And they did the exact same thing they did on November 3rd. They've got the system figured out. We don't count anymore. And that's where the problem lies. We've got a government that hates our own freedom. It's truly amazing to watch how many people still go along and believe that what the government tells them is correct and true and honest. When they're lying to us, they're lying to us about their lies, and then they're lying to cover up the other lies. I don't trust a single one of them. Not even as far as I can throw myself. But I thought that was kind of an interesting thing when I heard that on that video, that little bit. You know, you can't put people who are antithetical to your goals in charge of you. That makes no sense whatsoever. Guys from Stern Show, they had a guy who was hated fund in charge of the fund, and now we have a government that hates freedom in charge of our freedom. But and of course, you know, being here behind the Iron Curtain of California, I mentioned their governor is being recalled, and he's going to get recalled. They've got enough signatures, unless, of course, some people get greased to dismiss enough of the signatures, which quite possibly could happen. But they're probably going to use the Dominion voting machines to add up all the signatures. Well, sorry, you just didn't have enough. But he's out there trying to save his own job and telling people, this is not going to save his job, by the way, saying things like this. We're not going back to normal because normal accepts inequity. So now it's all about equality. They're pushing that whole equality. By the way, when you hear the word equality, that's a trigger word, a code word for communism. So, and Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan is the same thing. Cuomo, who is facing multiple counts of sexual, allegedly, pardon me, sexual misconduct. They're not going to go back to normal in New York as long as he's there. And people are getting tired of, people are fed up. I've seen mask burning parties, which I thought was absolutely awesome. But at the same time, I'm also seeing police and courts attack people for not wearing the masks either. You know, the people are tired. There was a lady in Austin, Texas, who was arrested by police the day after the governor lifted the mask mandates. There was a lady in New York who had her kid taken away from her because she showed up to drop him off to school because she wasn't wearing a mask. So now they've got the enforcers and the cops out there. You know, we're just doing our jobs and following orders like the mindless drones that they are anymore. We'll do the job. And every, you know, and that was another thing that really bothered me with the Trump administration. You know, we have to respect and honor our people in law enforcement. I kind of really don't. Because if they swear an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, I've asked them, I know what the oath is. And yet they don't. Okay, they didn't swear an oath to obey all the orders of the mayor. They didn't swear an oath of loyalty to the mayor or to the chief or anybody else. They swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And yet they're out there doing every little petty dictator's bidding. You know, want to protect their pension. They don't want to lose their job. You know, whatever the reason might be, they violate their oath on a regular basis because they're told to. You know, we're just following orders. That didn't work all that well at Nuremberg either. And they're listening to these. I mean, I know it's all megalomania. All you people out there listening to me, you all know what the reality of the situation is. But they're basing it on a liar, Dr. Fauci. They're basing it off of this guy, Neil Ferguson from England, by the way, who's got a great track record predicting epidemic deaths. Now, he's so good that they actually model patterns of epidemics on this guy. And here's his track record, by the way, just so you know how credentialed this guy is and how good he is at his job. In 2001, they had an outbreak of foot and mouth in England. They slaughtered 6 million cattle, causing about $10 billion, but they never found any actual evidence of an infection to the animals in the neighboring farms. Huh. 2002, mad cow disease breaks up. He predicts 50 to 150,000 people are going to die. Yeah, 177 people. Bird flu in 2005. 200 million people are going to die from bird flu. 282. I think he was a little, just a bit off on that one. 2009 swine flu. 65,000 people die. 457. I guess that's close. That's in the ballpark. And in 2020, with the corona hoax, he's predicting millions of deaths. We haven't had any. And there's no actual proof that lockdown has lowered figures. And when I say that we haven't had any deaths, I mean, the numbers have been fudged. Who knows what they really are? Yeah, when you count heart attacks, motorcycle accidents, suicides, you know, multiple comorbidities as COVID deaths, you kind of got a problem with the numbers to the point where the CDC at one point actually lowered the figure by 94%. Yeah, this guy's the expert, Neil Ferguson and Dr. Fauci. And of course, where was it? I just missed it. And of course, you got Joe Biden chiming in once again. Let's see if I can find that one. Where he is basically threatening to shut down the country for the 4th of July. They've already denied, by the way, they've already denied the fireworks display at Mount Rushmore. And what was the reason given? Well, you know, we don't want to get people too close together and, you know, have a super spreader event, you know, because COVID's not really over. Even though the number of infections, supposedly, alleged infections, are going down. Even Southern California is opening up to a certain extent. And thank you for our dear leaders understanding and letting us get back to some semblance of life that's not going to be normal anymore, because it's not equitable for everybody. So they're canceling. That's the reason that they're given. The other reason, the rumblings that I heard, was because they did not want to celebrate white supremacy, because you got George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, and Theodore Roosevelt, all old white men carved into the mountainside. Oh, and a couple of them were slave owners. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't realize it, Thomas Jefferson was a guy who rewrote colonial law so that inherited slavery would not be part of colonial law anymore. And when most people sit there and just blather idiotically that Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner, do you know why Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner? Because he didn't have a choice on the matter. I think I've talked about this before, but I'll give a quick Cliff Notes version of it. Thomas Jefferson inherited a plantation. Included in that plantation were, of course, a bunch of slaves. Because the plantation was deeply in debt, and the way colonial law was written, he could not part with any part of the property of the plantation without every single creditor coming at him at the same time. And he could actually be held criminally liable for doing so. He wanted to get rid of, let them all go. He couldn't do it because of the way colonial law was written. When he got into public office, he rewrote colonial law so that would not be the case anymore. But because his plantation was inherited, when he inherited it, was still under the original colonial laws, the ones that forced him to hold on to all the property until all the debt was paid off, which was probably not going to happen for a hell of a long time, if ever. It was all grandfathered in. He could not still at that point not get let them all go. He was bound by colonial law. So just to arbitrarily blurt out, Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner. Okay, understand the reasons why. It's a little bit of a history lesson for you. So Joe Biden, his administration, denied the 4th of July celebration at Mount Rushmore. That, by the way, we had last year with Donald Trump. The state of South Dakota put in for the permission to go onto federal land and do it. And the federal government under Biden's administration said no. And not only that, but Biden pretty much told the entire country in some idiotic speech, some moronic speech, some absolutely scripted, bland, god-awful speech that if you listen to all the talking heads over at CNN and MSNBC and all the rest of them, you would have thought it was the second coming of Christ was what Joe Biden had said. The Don Lemon, Brian Stelter, the Fredo Cuomo, all were saying, oh my God, what a breath of fresh air this is. It was one of the most god-awful things I've ever heard. But he's essentially holding the country hostage by saying, you know, if we do our part by July 4th, there's a good chance you and your families will be able to get together in your backyard and have a cookout or barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. Well, thank you, dear leader, for your generosity. Thank you for allowing me to congregate on my own property with people I know and celebrate the freedom of this country, which at this point is an oxymoron. But I'm going to let you get a listen to it for yourself. It's absolutely ridiculous what Biden was saying.
I need you. I need every American to do their part. That's not hyperbole. I need you. I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity. And to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well. Because here's the point. If we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout and a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. That doesn't mean large events with lots of people together, but it does mean small groups will be able to get together. After this long, hard year, that will make this Independence Day something truly special, where we not only mark our independence as a nation, but we begin to mark our independence from this virus. But to get there, we can't let our guard down. This fight is far from order, from over. As I told the woman in Pennsylvania, I'll tell you the truth. A July 4th with your loved ones is the goal. But a goal, a lot can happen.
So essentially he said, is saying, do as I say and no one gets hurt. And maybe we'll let you have July 4th celebrations. We'll dangle that carrot in front of you. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't catch it, yeah, he did lie to you. They're probably going to try to put a clamp down on it. And his biggest lie was, I'm telling you the truth. I don't think Joe Biden even knows what the truth is anymore. Quite frankly, I don't think he knows what a lie is anymore. I don't think he knows what anything is anymore. His brain is so addled, it's unbelievable. And yet somehow, this is the best we got. This is the president, illegitimately, the president of the United States. And they are doing everything in this administration. By the way, in case anybody didn't realize, Joe Biden is not running the show. That guy doesn't know where he is half the time. He didn't know where he was when he was on the campaign trail. You know, giving a campaign speech to the video monitor facing his back to the crowd. The guy is completely shot. And now they're talking about pulling the 25th Amendment. Don't tell me that the rumblings aren't happening, because they are. They're going to have to, because at some point Joe Biden is going to be so incomprehensible. I mean, not that he isn't now, but he's going to be so incomprehensible. You're not even going to be able to understand what the hell he's talking about at any given time. So, and of course, you know, you got the rest of them all jumping in on this too. I mean, you want to talk about how much they sold out. We already know Joe Biden has sold out to China. We know he's a Chinese puppet. We know that we're back to the status quo. The country's going to get real miserable real fast. And then, of course, you have people like Lori Lightfoot, the Chicago mayor, saying things like this.
There's got to be compliance with the executive branch, because otherwise it doesn't work. So you got to eliminate that compliance when you make a mandate. And then you do training, particularly in the city, I'll call them licensing departments, whether it's zoning, buildings, housing will be impacted by it, planning certainly. And you pick the people that run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governance. And then I think you have the inspector general do some spot audits to make sure that there is real compliance.
So remember, you got to pledge allegiance to the new world order while they're busy trampling all over your rights, not making anything, please be in compliance anymore. Like Biden was saying, I need you. I need you. She's just saying you can't make it a compliance issue. You have to make it a mandate. And she's not the only one. Gretchen Whitmer has been saying this for a while. Cuomo's been saying this. I mean, they really want to keep this going. The problem with these politicians is I don't think they're judging the energy of the room correctly anymore. People have had enough. They've had enough. I would have said I had enough, but I don't wear a mask when I go outside, and I find it absolutely hilarious when I do. And people still look at me funny. Stephen F. Holtz, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, is a medical doctor, also mentioned something that Sherry Tenpenny had mentioned that I played her the other week. He actually came out and said experimental COVID gene therapy is at best 19% effective for a virus that supposedly, a supposed virus that has a 99.98% survival rate. You know, the Canadian health chief says COVID restrictions must continue even after taking the vaccine. So what's the point of taking the vaccine then? Anyway. I mean, this is all about control. There is nothing about your health in any part of this. It has nothing to do with it. By the way, there is a way you can legally decline a vaccine if they make it a mandatory one. Somebody had posted this up, and I think it's actually interesting. And so there's a couple of different steps you take. Number one, you know, don't refuse the vaccine. Otherwise, you'll be considered belligerent. And I don't see what the problem with being belligerent is. So what you do is you ask the doctor if the vaccine has MRC5 in it, which is aborted fetal cells and other DNA. By the way, they all do. Then also ask, is there a possibility of a iatrogenic reaction, which is an adverse reaction caused by multiple compounds or drugs interacting with each other from the vaccine? By the way, they all do. So when the doctor says, yes, it does, you say, thank you for your time and walk away. Because remember, the doctors have sworn a Hippocratic Oath and they have to honor it. You don't see that too much anymore either. Unfortunately. But what most of this boils down to is they want you under their control. And that's all it is. They want you to worship the state the same way that Stalin did. in the Soviet Union. Mao did in China. Castro tried to do in Cuba, succeeded to a certain extent. Adolf Hitler did in Germany. They want you to worship the state. They don't want any religion. They do not want any competing attention. They don't want you focused on anything else. It's all about them. It's like watching George Orwell come to life. You know, this is in real time. So Ludwig von Mises came up with a brilliant quote. He said, "The worship of the state is the worship of force. There is no more dangerous menace to civilization than a government of incompetent, corrupt, or vile men. The worst evils which mankind ever had to endure were inflicted by governments." Which is true. If you ever look at the 20th century, the state, and when I say the state, I mean governments, you know, it doesn't matter where they are, the state, they killed more people, and I'm not talking about just warfare, I'm just talking about wholesale slaughter of their own people within their borders. They killed more people than anybody else on the planet. And it was all by their own laws that they made. It was all done legally. I mean, people look at Charles Manson and point a finger. Oh, he's the bad guy. You know, Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, all the lists of all these different serial killers and whatever. The state makes them look like amateurs. They really do. They make them look like wannabes. They estimate that there was probably about 150 to 200 million people killed off in the 20th century alone by their own governments. And in China, it's still counting. So now we're into the 21st century. And again, once again, I'm going to bring this up. The remedy of it is to try to get out from under the state. The only issue I have with doing any of that is I don't think the state's going to honor it anyway. They don't really care. We got a court system that doesn't deal in justice. We got a judicial branch of the government that basically scrapped the Constitution of the United States. We got a senile old fart who won by fraud sitting in the White House and an executive branch that doesn't honor its oath either. First lie that Joe Biden never said, even if he remembers saying it, first lie he said was when he placed his hand on the Bible and swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And by the way, the left still hasn't gotten rid of their Trump derangement syndrome either. They're trying to blame Donald Trump for stuff that's been done when he's out of office. Oh, and even before I get into that part of it, though, you got to even listen to the Prime Minister of New Zealand. You know, again, we're going back into the whole COVID thing. What she said, it's, again, every once in a while, and it's becoming more and more of a habit with some of these leaders of all these countries, they're letting their plans slip. They don't know when to stop talking.
Again, this was an individual who had gone through managed isolation. We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
There it is. Sustained propaganda. What have we been seeing in the United States for about a year now? What have we been seeing in the U.S. for the last 4 years? I mean, even go back further, 2016, at least. Mainstream media has been doing nothing but sustained propaganda. Oh, I'm trying to find the other one. And, of course, everything that they do, because the mainstream media and the Democrat Party and a good deal of the Republicans, even though they take the brunt of their crap, I mean, they're all in on it. They all know what the deal is. They all know what the plan is. And, of course, now that the CNN and MSNBC and the other stations, their ratings have dropped simply because they don't have Donald Trump to really pick on anymore. Well, they got a new target. By the way, is it just me or has anybody else noticed that Brian Stelter looks like the bastard love child of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and the clown from Spawn? But I'll give you a little dose of him because he's telling you who he's coming right out and telling you who the new target is.
Tucker Carlson is the new Donald Trump. Tucker has taken Trump's place as a right-wing leader, as an outrage generator, as a fire starter. And it's all happening on Fox, just like Trump's campaign did. Which means Rupert and Lachlan Murdoch are ultimately responsible. I mean, think about all the ways these two men are similar. Every day, Carlson is throwing bombs, making online memes, offending millions of people, also delighting millions of others, tapping into white male rage and resentment, stoking distrust of big tech in the media, generally coarsening the discourse, never apologizing for anything, and setting the GOP's agenda. Sounds like a recently retired president, right?
No.
Even before the 2020 election, there was informed speculation about Carlson as a 2024 candidate. Of course, some of Carlson's detractors say, he's just a troll, he's just really good at ticking people off. But isn't that what they said about Trump for years? Yes, Tucker is known to critique.
No, that's what you said about Trump for years, bald-headed bastard.
Trump and the Republican Party from time to time. This time last year, he was at Mar-a-Lago trying to convince Trump to take COVID more seriously. But Tucker tells the same conspiratorial us versus them story that Trump told. The same they're out to get you story that Trump told for years. It's the paranoid style in American politics all over again. And Tucker now soaks up some of the same social media fury that Trump did. He stokes the same debates that Trump did. And it raises the same predicament that Trump raised 5 or 6 years ago. Whether and how to cover his claims. I mean, here's just some of what Tucker did in a single week this past week. He said pregnant service members are a mockery to the U.S. military and claimed the U.S. has a national masculinity crisis. And when military officials rebuked his comments, he flipped out and doubled down. Tucker also spent an entire segment berating a New York Times reporter because she had the audacity to call out online harassment. And then he blasted the Times for defending her. He tried to rewrite history about George Floyd's death and said American leaders used Floyd to enshrine, quote, open racism in nearly all of our institutions.
He did.
And he mocked Meghan Markle and he defended Piers Morgan, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on. And it all is because of these individuals on screen. What Tucker wants is attention. What Rupert Murdoch and Lachlan Murdoch want for him is attention.
Say what Brian, and you know, go over what Brian Stelter just said. Tucker Carlson wants attention. Here's the thing. Brian Stelter wants attention. Okay. CNN has ratings that are in the toilet. I mean, and the water circling the drain and going down. Their ratings have dropped massively. Tucker Carlson's has gone way high. So what do they need to do to get ratings? Go after the guy with the big ratings. Brian Stelter should have just put some fireworks behind him and just said, look at me, I'm over here. Because that's all he's doing. He's trying to become an attention whore. And that's all CNN has left. And this is why they're going after Tucker Carlson so much. And basically using all the same talking points that they used for the last 4 years because they don't have anything else. This is why I can't stand mainstream media. And I don't know how CNN is still considered mainstream media. No, but who the hell is watching them? They got lower ratings than the Grammy Awards. Oh, and in case anybody watched that absolute nonsense, I pity you. I didn't do it. I didn't waste my time. When you hand a music award to somebody who made a song, if you can call it a song, that is so unlistenable, it's unbelievable. It tells you that the Grammys are really just a waste of time. So are the Oscars, the Emmys, and all those stupid entertainment award shows. But their ratings went into the absolute tank. They lost 60% of their audience, I think. Nobody watched it. Nobody cares about Hollywood anymore, which is a good thing. But Brian Stelter, I mean, his little diatribe there, it was absolutely so devoid of anything. It was, here's the target. Let me bring up 20 talking points that have been so overused, it's unbelievable. I mean, the only thing he didn't say was, Tucker Carlson is the new Hitler, because, you know, everything that you don't like is Hitler. Literally, Hitler. you disagree with my talking points, you are literally Hitler. That's the mentality of CNN. So it's essentially, it's a desperation move on their part, which is, again, one of the reasons I cannot stand CNN whatsoever. Here, but they won't report on things like what Pete Buttigieg said. They won't report on what Nancy Pelosi said. Okay, you don't hear them reporting on these gun control measures that are moving through Congress, by the way, which are so highly unconstitutional. If there's no challenge to it, I am going to scream bloody murder. The Supreme Court has, if they pass this, which looks like they probably will, they're going unless the Republicans can bury it in a Senate filibuster, the Supreme Court has to take this up. But you don't hear, this is not big news to them. Big news to mainstream media is COVID, white supremacy and how it must be put down. Every white person is racist. Everything that you can possibly think of to keep people divided, they don't bother with the important stuff anymore. That doesn't interest them. That doesn't help them. They think this is what's getting them ratings, and they wonder why nobody's watching. They wonder why nobody's going to see their movies and listen to their idiotic radio shows. I remember when, oh, what was that called? Air America was on. That was the far left wing version of Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, and all the rest of them, the other talking heads. But it tanked so fast because they couldn't build an audience. And they ended up moving Mr. Maddow over to MSNBC. And she's been a complete waste of time ever since, even though I heard some leftist idiot tell me to my face, by the way, she is one of the most honest and most he basically said she has like the most integrity and honesty of any journalist in the country. I almost laughed in his face. I should have laughed in his face. And now the same thing's happening with CNN. The only reason people even know CNN still exists is because they have contracts with airports all over the country. But now that Donald isn't around to pick on anymore, their ratings are in the tank, and it's, you know, you hear these gasps for breath by trying to find a new target and build a new audience hatred base around that. You know, and it's really funny because you listen to them and everything. It's the old Joseph Goebbels tactics. You know, blame your enemy of that which you are guilty. And this is what they do. That's because they really don't have anything else. They've got nothing. But of course, this is what they won't report on. This is Pete Buttigieg.
I think it's going to be a building process. And you see some actions by some of these entities to search parts of it, but ultimately it's going to be put together similar to how the rescue groups got it. They're most likely to have these reconciliations. The Republicans will be with you for a point.
Let's clear that. You got it.
Thanks again, everybody.
Okay. Yeah, whoops. I got caught on a hot mic. Basically, what they're saying is, I know it's kind of difficult to hear. It was hard to understand even on my end of it. But they were talking about the infrastructure package that's coming up. And Pete Buttigieg was talking with Senator Ben Cardin, and of course, Pete Buttigieg is now the transportation secretary. I don't know what qualified him for the job. I don't know what his expertise is in transportation infrastructure, if he has any. But that doesn't seem to be a qualifying point to be anything in this administration anymore. You don't have to be qualified for anything. You just have to be on the right party and have the right leftist point of view. So they were talking about how they're going to get this infrastructure bill passed without the Republican support. And you say, well, maybe there'll be some, but they're talking about trillions of dollars. And what they're going to end up having to do is use reconciliation to jam through the infrastructure bill without it. They're going to essentially, to the Democrats right now, the Republican Party doesn't count. To me, neither party counts because they don't do anything. They're both waste. You know, they just like to blame each other. Depending on who's in power, they're going to start pointing fingers and blaming each other for all the problems. And basically try to get you to take your eye off the ball. But they're going to try to get rid of the filibuster just to get this through. They have to have 51 votes to pass the measure. And they probably will get it because who breaks the ties in the Senate? Heels up Harris. So they're talking about wasting more money, of course. You know, this is a safe thing for the Republicans because they can, even though they might be for it personally, they can go in there and pander to their constituents by voting against it and say, well, you know, I voted against it. You know, I'm on your side when they're really not. You know, this is another thing that the mainstream media won't report on. Nancy Pelosi saying that the Democrats in the House can overturn an election result to get a Democrat to win months after losing the election. Okay, she said, look at all the crap that they tried to pull with massive amounts of evidence of voter fraud. They didn't want it overturned, so they said there wasn't any. And they gave Donald Trump all this grief for actually having the evidence, but nobody wanted to hear it. And that Supreme Court wouldn't take it up over these little technicalities that they would come up with. They didn't want to touch an election with a 10-foot pole. So Marionette Meeks won her race in Iowa, the 2nd District of Iowa, against Rita Hart, who's a Democrat. But it was won by a really narrow margin. And so Nancy Pelosi is coming in and said, basically, do you think there's a way that you could overturn the election and get the Rita Hart to win? She says, yeah, I can see that happening. Here, I'll let you hear it in her own voice, even though I know it's like fingernails on the chalkboard or, you know, trying to drown a cat. You got to hear it from their own word. You can't just take my word for it. You got to hear it from their own mouth.
So yesterday, the House Administration Committee voted to continue its inquiry into the Iowa 2nd Congressional District here. Could you see a scenario, depending on what they find in their probe, of unseating the current member and seating Rita Hart if it came to them?
You know, Chad is always the hypothetical. Can you see a scenario? We don't do press conferences on can you see a scenario. I respect the work of the committee. I did see, as you saw in the press, what they decided to, and they were following my, as I read it, the requirements of the law as to how you go forward. And how you go forward is the path you're on, and we'll see that where that takes us. Yeah, but there could be a scenario to that extent. Yes.
Let me see. No, you can't, Nancy. It's written into the Constitution of the United States under Article 1. The elections are controlled by the state legislatures, period. Of course, you know, they didn't bother to question it when the state legislatures were changing election laws in the middle of the election. Didn't bother with that. That was perfectly fine because it benefited them. So the state legislatures have control over the elections in the state. The election process is for each state. That's what's written in the Constitution. But so now Nancy Pelosi, completely ignoring the Constitution, is now saying that, oh, yeah, we in the House can just simply go in and overturn a state election. You know, even if it was for federal office, there is nothing that provides for the House of Representatives to do anything like that. None whatsoever. And yet here she is saying, yeah, I could. Yeah, no problem. We can do that. This is how much our government right now ignores the Constitution of the United States. This is some, you know, you don't hear this in mainstream media. It's all about COVID and be afraid and, oh, thank the government for opening up. You should be bowing and scraping on your knees, thanking and worshiping them for allowing you to get back to work and go out to have a dinner or go see a movie or whatever. Mainstream media never reports on this. Okay, they don't care that you know this or not. Nancy Pelosi is essentially coming out as Speaker of the House, the highest ranking member of the House of Representatives, and saying, yes, we can violate the Constitution of the United States of America and get away with it. Yes, I could see that happening. Not even an issue. It's because they've got everything sewn up. They know how to rig the elections now, and they never get prosecuted for anything. Ever. When's the last time you saw somebody in a higher position ever going to court and getting busted? And I'm not talking about people who get targeted. I'm talking about the scum of the country that dwell in Washington, D.C. They never do. You never see them. Hearing after hearing after hearing. I saw Jeff Sessions do this. I've seen Jim Jordan doing it. Everybody gets, and you know, and when it's in the reverse, you see the Democrats get up on their high horse and they beat their chest and gnash their teeth and wring their hands and yell and holler and scream, and the end result is always nothing. You can admit, if you're in the right position, you can go in and admit open treason against the United States and nothing will happen to you. Some of them are in the hearing committee will get angry. They will yell. They'll scream. They'll holler. But nobody gets arrested. Nobody goes to jail. I saw that with Leon Panetta. I've mentioned that before. Jeff Sessions questioning him when Leon Panetta said, our military is under the control of a foreign power now, the United Nations. And we'll come in and let you know if we think you need to know what we're doing with the troops. And Jeff Sessions gnashed his teeth and wrung his hands, and guess what? Nobody went to jail. What he should have done is stop the hearing immediately and had Leon Panetta arrested and put down in the brig at the bottom of the Capitol. But that didn't happen. It never does. They can admit all of this out in the open without any fear of any repercussions because they're never held accountable by each other, ever. What are they going to do? Mostly, they'll target somebody and they'll lose their committee assignments. I think the last person that was expelled that I can remember that was expelled from Congress was Jim Traficant. And that was a complete shit show when you want to get down to the bottom of that. But they're never held accountable. They never will be. They're creating these gun control laws now. By the way, all gun control laws are unconstitutional. I always have to say that. They're creating them that's going to make people instant felons if you don't register your firearms, if you don't submit to a national database, if you own a certain type of firearm because it looks scary. You know, it doesn't change the function of the firearm from one design to another. They all semi-automatics function the same as every other semi-automatic. You know, when you break it down into the basics. But they look scary because, well, they're black. And that must mean they're racist if a white person owns a black-colored rifle. Because, you know, at this point, everything is racist. But they're scary looking. They have a thing on the front that looks like a birdcage, and that's scary. And this has a pistol grip on it, and that makes it scary, and it has a barrel shroud. You know, the barrel shroud isn't there to make it look scary. It's there to keep you from burning your damn hands off when you're shooting the thing. But it can fire, like, unlimited amounts of bullets. It's like, no, it's actually kind of limited, believe it or not. And the stupidest one of all is it has a 30-round clip. That right there just displays their ignorance about firearms anyway, because it's not a clip. A clip is something that you use to hold the bullets when you feed them into the magazine. But of course, their lack of knowledge never stopped them from going after something. The only reason they really want to do gun control is because they want you to be disarmed. 20th century, full of examples of what happens when a government disarms a society. This is why they're creating all these new restrictive laws and all the rest of it. And if anybody thinks when this whole COVID mess is over that these authoritarian little measures that they put in place are going to go away, I got news for you. They never go away. They never will. So anyway, we'll be right back with I'll be playing the rest of Richard McDonald, and I will see you guys after the break. Stay tuned, everybody.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
We'll be right back.
right, welcome back to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty, and I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Be sure to go to the website. Join in the chat room. Join everybody in the chat room. Go to the advertising section. Pick up some products. They're actually really good products. And if you got something for sale, pick up one of the advertising spots. They're really inexpensive, and they reach a whole lot of people. And be sure to click the donation button at the top of the page. We are 100% listener supported. We need all the help you can get to keep us on the air. Remember, mainstream media is not telling you the truth. Never have, never will. That's the big difference between us and them. We don't lie. I'm just going to, you know, flat out just say, we're not lying to you. I mean, we give a lot of opinions about things. We exercise our First Amendment rights to say what we think. But we don't lie to you. Not like mainstream media. Not like Brian Stelter. Little fat toady Brian Stelter. But I want to get into this, the rest of this Richard McDonald's lecture that I was playing part of last week. I'll pick it up where we left off. And I think that one of the real ways to get out from what our government is doing is to stop playing their game. Stop playing their game by their rules. Okay, their rules are like playing cards at a casino. The odds are always in favor of the house. Well, it's the same thing when you go to court here. The odds are in favor of the state. The judge works for the state. Prosecutor works for the state. The defense attorney works for the state, believe it or not. They have to pass what's known as the bar, the British Accreditation Registry. Okay. They're not working for you. Oh, and if you have a police witness come in against you, guess who he works for? He works for the state. So if it comes down to your word versus the cop, you lose automatically. Okay, the court is not going to believe you. And I've seen that happen. I've talked to people who've had that happen. I mean, it's something as innocuous as a traffic ticket. When you go to court, one thing has to be very present. The person who issued, I guess, say just on the basis of a traffic ticket, the person who issued the traffic ticket has to be present. That officer has to be there. Well, you go to court, and the officer didn't show up. They sent somebody in his place. The officer on the stand was asked, "You are the issuing officer?" And he'll say, "Well, no. Well, you weren't there." He goes, "Yes, I was," and the court will accept that, even if he wasn't there. So, again, it's a rigged game. We have a judicial system that doesn't deal in justice. We have a medical system that doesn't deal in health. So, you know, our whole country right now, our whole world right now is completely turned upside down. But I am, in the process of getting what's known as papered up. I'm taking back my straw man, taking back my legal fiction, putting it under my control. And I will be working a lot from it from there. And again, Richard McDonald, who I met years ago, long time, over 20 years ago, was one of the guys who, he was an introduction into this. I mean, it's things that I picked up a little pieces of along the way. And then I met him, got me very much more into it, but I always knew enough just to get me in trouble. When you talk to people at the American Assembly of States or American States Assembly, you can go to their website. They will help you get through this, and they've streamlined the process. This is one of the other issues that was always going on. Getting you back from the government essentially used to be a process that, you know, what do I sign? Who do I send it to? Where do I got to go? And everybody would always have some of the answers, but they never had all of them at the same time. Richard McDonald was one of the guys who did have the answers. I wish I had gotten a chance to talk with him a little more, but he passed away a few years ago, and I hadn't seen him in a while. But now they've condensed this whole thing down where they can, you pop up a website, get yourself papered up, and take it from there. And the people that are running the American States Assembly are there to help you get through something. Oh, I need help with this. We can guide you through it. But you got to remember, you've got to be prepared to go in for the fight. You cannot go in there thinking, oh, you know, I can only go this far and I'm tired of it and I want to get up. No, you've got to go in all the way. You've got to hold the government accountable to their own laws. You have to make them follow their own laws. It's kind of a way of learning to use their own laws against them because they have to obey them. If they don't, well, let's just say that there were a couple of judges that got arrested for it. But I'm going to run the rest of this video and let you listen to Richard McDonald. The guy is a wealth of knowledge. His living room looked like a law library when I was there. The guy did a lot of studying, knows what he's talking about. And there's a few more people still like that that were still alive and kicking. If you wanted to ever speak to them, I'm sure they'd be more than willing. I met them a couple weeks ago. About a week and a half ago, and they were really great, wealth of information. So without any further ado, I give you Richard McDonald, the part two.
But if you know what their rules are, they have a very, very narrow tailor over here. In fact, they got a court case at home. It said City and County of San Francisco again. It says all IRS seizures are in rem maritime seizures. So I don't worry about the IRS. I love the IRS. I feel sorry that they're going to get cut down. I hope they just abuse people more. Because the more the IRS abuses people, the sooner people are going to wake up. Sometimes the people can only get woke up to their pocketbook. You know what I mean? I love the IRS. You know what I mean? The more they abuse people, the more I like it. Because people are going to wake up, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's the only way you can wake them up is kick a man in the shins, you know what I mean? And he'll say, what happened? Yes.
So when you go to the local district, federal district court...
I never go to...
I know you don't. But for an IRS case in REM,
right,
to ask for a libel to verify a lien, is that a good procedure to do?
No, because I would not go into, say I had a lien against me, which I have, you know what I mean? Okay. I ain't got nothing, I don't own nothing. That's it's right. against the Social Security number, and I don't have a Social Security.
Go ahead.
And I don't have a Social Security number. But say if I didn't want to teach, you know what I mean? What I would do. The first thing I'd do is write a bunch of letters and get them to admit a whole bunch of different things. Number one, admit that the lien attached to the Social Security number. Then I, Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 9C, 9, go look it up. That's all Admiralty Maritime in rem seizures. They have a special section for in rem seizures, Admiralty rules. And they only allow three pleadings under Admiralty. Complaint, answer, and rebuttal, and you can get discovery. And under that, it's only a bill of particulars is allowed, and you can get as many as you want. Federal rules, I have them at home. They're not published in most law books, federal civil procedure books. Rule 9 is not published. All it says Admiralty rules, and they just skip it over one line. whole section's dropped out. You have to go to some of the bigger law books to get it. But see, I would never go into federal court for any reason whatsoever unless they bring me in there. I have no business there. In fact, you cannot win any case against the Internal Revenue Service or the federal government in federal district court. Where can you win? State court or the court of claims?
commitment to recovery.
Yes. Recovery of damages, you follow me? They take you and your money, they lien your house, they ruin your reputation, you can sue them for damages, anything else. I got several court cases where IRS has taken some property and they went to court of claims and they got it back. Go to federal district court and they lose. The federal district court does not have authority. What did I say? The federal district court does not have that authority. The federal district...
The court of claims is Article 3 in the...
No, court of claims is in Article 1. It's a constitutional recovery court. Designed for recovery from damages against the federal government. The court of... The federal district court is not. They were never given that authority. That authority was strictly given to the court of claims.
State liens?
Huh?
So you get a state lien. Your remedy for a state lien would be in the common law court?
Yeah, in the Superior Court of California. But you have to do a bunch of letter writing first. Yeah. And you can do like some people do that I've worked with. Get on the telephone. Let your fingers do the walking. Mr. Franchise Tax Board, this is not my number. This lien is attached to this number, and it's not my number. I can't do anything about it. Who's your supervisor? Mr. Supervisor, this is what? This is not my number. The lien attaches the number, but it attaches to my name. It doesn't attach to my name. It only attaches the number. Take the lien off. Remove the lien. I can't do it. Who's your supervisor? Walk your way up. You may have to go five levels, but eventually they'll remove the lien. We've done it. But you have to be persistent and argue. And if you wimp out and you're not, and they feel, hear weakness or in your voice, you follow me, or you're unsure of yourself, you follow me, they're going to. Yes.
In a letter.
Well, because the guy I did it wanted to get it done right now. He was selling a house, and he had escrow money tied up, and he wanted his money out of escrow. So he had to do it in a hurry.
And he's very good on
the phone. And he's very good. He knows how to talk, and he's very positive. You know what I mean? So when you're not positive, and you don't have a good, strong voice, and not firm, you follow in your voice, do letter writing. That's why I recommend everybody do letter writing. You can be as firm as you want in letter writing. Because they can't see your weakness. You know what I mean? Unless you write a weak letter. You know what I mean? May I please? Yeah. Then you're going to be... How many people have a computer modem? You got a computer, but no modem. No line. You can't go nowhere. I have here the Republic of Lomar. Okay? It's a nation without land. They issue passports. It's a nation without land. They issue passports, and you can have ID, driver's license, everything else from them. Lomar. Okay, let me speak up closer here. She can't hear you. It's the Republic of Lomar. It's a nation without land. It's one of those micro states, and they issue passports, etc. Driver's license, ID cards, and etc. And I do have a couple applications up here, which I'm going to save for a few certain people. But if you have a computer modem, they have a website address, and you use me as a reference if you want. You know what I mean? And you can get it. Did you give him his letter, Phil? Did you give him his letter? I think it's, what, $89 for you? Or $69 and $29 a year thereafter. And you have a second form of ID. Now you got a Republic of Lomar ID. You go into a bank and they say, I'd like to open a bank account. Let me see your ID. Oh, here's my passport. Oh, I'm just visiting here. Okay. I'm living here. We can live any place we want. We're accepted any place. Oh, okay. And the United States does accept dual citizenship. www.republic-of-lomar.org.
L-O-M-A-R?
Yeah. And it's very interesting. Listen to what they say about themselves. They're a non-territorial sovereign nation focused on human rights, environmental protection, and personal privacy, protecting and serving thousands of citizens worldwide on human rights. So, no, they don't have a landmass. And they said they're just like the Vatican. The Vatican owns no land.
When the police officer asks you where exactly that nation is to be found,
it's on the internet.
On the internet. It's on the web. We're a nation without land. We're a roaming people. We have no land.
Gypsies.
And if you're real smart, you get one of these passports, then you take a trip down to Mexico, you walk out of the immigration, have them stamp it out, then when you come back in, have them stamp it in. Now, who's going to question it when the federal government recognizes it in and out?
Will they stamp it all the way back?
Yeah, you have to. If they stamp you out, they have to stamp you in.
But don't you get a green card or anything, or a visa?
No, because you stamped out.
You stamp out on your way out?
Yes.
Has anybody done that?
Oh, from other passports we use, there's several different things you can do. But I'll lay this over here on the table. We're going to take a break for a few minutes here. And you can, people can come up here, write the address down and glance at this, okay? We'll take a break about 10 minutes and then we'll come right back. I need a cigarette. Yes. They have signed treaties with the United Nations.
He's coming right back. They're going to cut the break here.
Okay. Ready? Okay. Welcome back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let's get back to what our original thought was. I was going to talk about citizenship only tonight, and I got off on a sidetrack talking law and everything else but citizenship. But that's me. And since we have a lot of new faces here tonight, I want you to go to the law library and ask them for the federal style manual. Published in 1984, and still, the federal government produces a style manual teaching people exactly how to use the words when they write laws. Anybody who writes laws for the government, they get a copy of this style manual. You know what I mean? It tells them how to use and, or, may, and everything else. You know what I mean? They're very educational if you know how to do it. And if you go to section 5.23, it says, listen to what the federal government says. In designating the natives of the several states, the following forms will be used. Alabamian, Alaskan, Arizonan, Arkansan, Californian. So if the law doesn't say specifically Californian, it doesn't apply to you. Right in their laws, it tells them when you're referring to you and me. It says, and they tell them how to use the word. So you identify yourself according to their law. Yeah. No, the states have their own style manual. No, I don't have the copy of that yet. I'm looking for it. There's one available. I haven't found it yet.
You know it exists, though, right?
I know it exists.
Well hidden.
Well, see, anytime you have a government and they have a bunch of different people writing laws, they have a style manual so they know exactly how to write the laws and how to use the words properly. You follow me? See, every legislature gets a copy of this, so when he writes a law, he knows exactly what he's saying, conforms with the law. So this is why they have these style manuals.
So every California legislator has one of those style manuals?
Right. No. I didn't want to get into that. Somebody asked me about allodial title. They're always asking me that. Here's a book you should go read so you'll understand what they did. How do you like living in the Atlantic Ocean? Let's see. No, the Pacific Ocean. You're living in the Pacific Ocean right now. The book is called Texas Real Estate Law, 5th edition, by Prentice Hall. Okay? And if you go back to page... where it is. Okay. All the land within the continental United States was predicated originally upon rock solid land meridians. San Bernardino Meridian, Washington, D.C. Meridian. Everything was based off the Washington, D.C. Meridian in 1785. Okay? Because Washington, D.C. was the capital. All the meridians started from the Washington, D.C. So in 1872, I think, is when they changed this law here. Okay. Rather than using physical mountains based upon imaginary longitude and latitude lines. The stars, imaginary. So they moved the meridian from a rock solid Washington, D.C. We're going to use this imaginary line over here, and we're moving all the land over here. So actually, we're out in the Pacific Ocean right now, according to the original, if you use that. But you have to describe your meets and bounds, longitude and latitude, based on the Washington, D.C. meridian. That puts you right back on the land again. That's what it was done in 1785. 1872, they used a Greenwich imaginary line. A fiction, you know what I mean? So everybody's using the Greenwich longitude and latitude. You follow me? But when you have your surveyor survey your land out to do allodial rights to your property, you have to tell them that they have to use the Washington, D.C. meridian as designed in 1785. No, they just moved it over. 100 years later, nobody's even paid that attention to it. And they did a whole treatise on that, imaginary lines.
Real estate book?
Yeah. See, they always tell you the truth, but most people don't want to read.
What do they say about the imaginary lines in there?
Does it call it imaginary lines? Rather than have a solid monument, they use imaginary lines. Yes.
You're paying off land and you don't own it yet, but it's obviously described. Can you ask them to re-describe it, or you have to wait till you own it?
No, you can re-describe it now. Then as soon as it's paid off, then you can move it in a allodial. You'd have to have a surveyor.
The surveyor to re-describe it.
Yeah, they have to pay the surveyor and have them re-describe it using the Washington, D.C. meridian.
And notify the county recorder.
Right, of re-describing the property with the correct meets and bounds. Do you follow me?
So, section and quarter sections, and that doesn't relate back to the meridian?
Originally it did. Originally it started out using Washington, D.C. meridian, but in 1872, rather, they changed it over and used the Greenwich imaginary lines. Yes.
So if one was to update a land patent, it would be in one's best interest to have it have a surveyor come out and
re-describe it according to the Washington, D.C. meridian. But it's got to be paid for, and you better be a state citizen and know how to defend it. There's only one person I know that's got his land in allodial. He's got it completely in allodium in Colorado, and the sheriff won't even come on his property. Fishing game was chasing a poacher, and a poacher had shot a deer, and a deer ran onto his property, and the fishing game officer would not even come on his property to collect the carcass. He can't trespass on that land.
By the way, just as a side note, that number of people who have claimed allodial title to their property has increased since then. This video is back from 1998. So it can be done, but you have to do it correctly, because if you try to land patent your property and you don't do it correctly, you can get charged with a federal felony crime. So you, again, there's a lot of things you have to know before you can't just jump in this cold turkey and go, hey, I'm just going to do all this. Okay, you've got to go through the steps and the processes, again, which I'm going through right now because I don't trust our government anymore. But I'll let you get back to this.
They pulled all his records out of the county recorder's office and got him sealed in an envelope in the supervisor's desk so nobody else will see what he did. Yes.
Over 100 years, basically. Then what surveyor even knows what that is?
They all know. It's on the maps. Yeah. They never lie. It's just right there. You have to tell them. If you just say, I want it surveyed, meets and bounds, they're going to use the current one. But if you tell them you want to use a San Bernardino meridian, like it's what we use here, because that's the mountain, you follow me, based on the San Bernardino meridian, or anything on the other side would be using the Washington, D.C. meridian. Yes?
So in order to have allodial ownership of land, then it's sort of a geographic jurisdiction of the coordinate system you use to describe the land. You're saying here you need to use the Washington meridian. And
in California, you would use the San Bernardino meridian. Because the San Bernardino Mountain doesn't move.
Meets and bounds still have that in it.
But they're using the Greenwich Meridian.
They call it San Bernardino Meridian.
Right. And there you see, there's not one square inch of land in America being taxed today. There's not.
I'm not sure, right?
No, they're not taxing one square inch of land. No. They're
taxing imaginary land.
Right. You know how they're taxing it? They're taxing assessor parcel lot number, a fiction. Subdivision plot number, which is all fiction. Everything has been changed. Meets and bounds can't be changed. You follow me? They remain the same. You know how they used to buy land in the old days? You pay, give the man gold, he reaches down and pick up a clump of dirt and hands it to you. And then you owned it. That was the bill of sale. That completed the transaction. He gave you dirt for gold.
To have lawful money, gold or silver, change hands to purchase the money?
Yes, you should. A portion of it should be. $1 plus other considerations. One.
You got to use $20 gold piece.
$20 gold piece.
The Coinage Act limits the debt settlement value of silver to $10. So you've got
nobody is Jim. It's $1 plus other considerations. I can give you a radio, a television, you follow me? It's $1 plus other considerations.
I personally would use a $20 gold piece.
Well, if I was going to do it.
Another consideration.
Yeah, well, if I was going to do buy some land and I had some money, what I would do, I'd use 1 troy ounce of gold plus other considerations. That gets away. How many people have heard about my people in Texas that I'm working with? Well, I'm working with 2 people down in Texas, okay? One guy says, I want to go in, register my car, and I don't want to pay any money. I said, okay, no problem. What you do is you walk into the DMV, and you tell them you traded an ounce of gold for it. So he walked in there, and he says, I just traded for this truck. He said, I traded 1 ounce of gold for this truck. She says, well, how much is it worth? He says, 1 ounce of gold. What's the dollar value? It has no dollar value. I gave him 1 ounce of gold. He kept arguing that with the DMV. And finally, they went and got the supervisor. He says, there's no dollar value, just an ounce of gold nugget I had. I gave it to him for this pickup truck. You know what I mean? There's no dollar value. The supervisor says, well, we've got to have a dollar value for the IRS. He says, I don't care what you got to have, but I only gave him an ounce of gold nugget for this truck. That's what I put on there, and I don't want to change. He says, okay, we'll register it. Gift. No charge. Second guy come along. He got an old jalopy. Want to change the registration over to his name. He says, how do I do it? I said, well, what's it worth? He says, oh, a couple hundred dollars. I said, okay. You go into the DMV and tell them you traded them a police scanner for it. So we walked into the DMV, put on there purchase price, 1 police scanner. Went through the same scenario and they gave him a free registration. Didn't have to pay. Registration and transfer fees.
Why would he want to register?
I don't know.
They looked up in the blue book and put their own finger.
There's no blue book value, you know what I mean? I traded this police scanner that didn't work for this, you know what I mean? The car didn't work when I got it. I traded... this police scanner didn't work for a car that didn't work. You follow me? I fixed it. He's going to fix this. You follow me? There's no blue book value. That's no value dollar. You put it there, you put anything else, you're falsifying government record. You stand there and argue it. Don't be a wimp. Buy my program. And I'll jump all over you. Right, David?
Right.
I jump all over you. You don't do it right, you know what I mean? I'll just keep after you do it right. Do it on your own, have fun, sink. When you wave your hand as you're going down for the 15th time, Richard, can you help me? I'll say, yeah. Take a deep breath when you're 15 feet underwater. I show no mercy, but I gotta have a little fun. But it's important that you understand the principles that I'm teaching you. You follow me? All I'm doing is teaching you principles of law that follow. And if you follow them correctly, with or without my help, I could care less. But you have to do your own research. Don't come crying to me. The principles of law are very, very simple. And they're always consistent. Where's this other one I was looking at? Style manual. Everybody, right? We got a lot of new faces here tonight, so you got to put it right here. Write this down. I have to thank Steve. He's not here. Probably went home. Okay. It's Attorney General Opinion of California 97202. It's on my BBS. He's putting his pen back away. He knows about it. It's dated June 9th, 1997. Okay. This Attorney General opinion states that the California has a Bailey interest in all automobiles that are registered. They have the right ownership of them. They can take them. They put it right. They put these opinions right up on the internet, and you can get it. And the website is http://caag.state.ca.us/opinions. But just go in there, put go on the search engine, put California Attorney General, and you'll come right up to it. An opinion, as long as you know the opinion number, you the rest is easy. 97-202.
Opinion, does that mean that they're willing to try to enforce it, or it has the force of law?
It has the force of law. And you have the court take judicial notice of it. There's no judge in his right mind will ever deny this, because he's going against the Attorney General, Daniel E. Lundgren. Yes?
Why would you want the judge to take judicial notice of that?
Well, my car's not registered, so therefore he has no... See, you do the argument over here to prove your point over here. So when he gets over there, you slap him over here, and then slap him over here, make him jump back and forth. You make him jump through the hoops.
Can you drive a car without... that is registered?
Pardon?
We do not have a California license. So can you drive a car that is not that is registered?
Sure, as long as you don't get caught.
What happens if they do catch
you? Then you have to address the issue. As long as it's not registered to you, you've got a fair chance of winning.
Use determines
classification.
It wouldn't be used commercially at that time.
So. Right. The household goods argument. Yes.
I have a 1977 Dodge van, and I recently found out that the DMV doesn't have they destroyed the certificate of some origins between 76 and 77, as they were committing certificates of origin to microfilm.
Right.
And so I requested the a copy of the certificate of origin, and I got a phone call from the DMV stating that they don't have a record of it. So I asked them if they'd use the money order that I sent them to send me something that indicates that they don't have a certificate of origin anymore. I'm expecting to get that back, in addition to the bill of sale that I have from the guy that I originally purchased the van from 2 years ago. I tracked the guy down, went over with a new bill of sale and a silver dollar, which he accepted, signed the form, and this is what I carry around with me now. And is that about as close to a complete title as one can get?
I don't know. I know, but I'm not going to tell you. Go research it.
Okay, I just got to make a clarification point in case anybody doesn't seem to understand what a certificate of origin is. It's a certificate issued by the car manufacturer when the car is sold, and it goes to the state. In other words, the state owns your car. When you get a certificate of title, you know, for your car or house or whatever, that doesn't mean you own that house. That means you have a vested interest in it, which is why the state can come in and pretty much do whatever they want. They can tell you, you can't build this. You have to get a permit to build that. You can't do that on your property or this on your property. You can't do this with your car, that with your car, because you only have an interest in it. When you get a certificate of origin for your car, remember, never call it a vehicle. You get an interest certificate of origin for your car, you own that car. Okay, you request that from the dealership. I want my certificate of origin, and they give it to you. You own that car. The state no longer has any interest in it. So I just wanted to clarify that in case people didn't understand what a certificate of origin was or is.
But Let's get back to citizenship here. I keep getting back and I get drug off here. Every time somebody asks me a question, I get all off to the side here. You know what I mean? This is 1879 case, okay? Lance versus Randall. A state cannot make a subject of a foreign government a citizen of the United States. This can only be done by the mode provided by the naturalization laws of Congress. Congress was given the power under the Constitution to create naturalization laws. Uniform naturalization laws. They were not given the power to naturalize anybody. They were not authorized under the Constitution to have any citizens at all. They have no land. They were only authorized to make the laws. The states would do all the naturalization in the mode provided. So they would naturalize state citizens. The states were doing all the naturalization up till 1950, in the 1950s, 52, 53, somewhere around there. And all the state courts quit doing the naturalization, turned all their naturalization process over to the federal government. So now they're only, and they were asking you at the naturalization process up till 1972, they were asking you, do you want to become a U.S. citizen or a state citizen? And everybody said, well, I want to be a citizen of everything. So everybody became a U.S. citizen, so they quit asking them. But the provisions are still there, and there's still provisions in state court for the states to naturalize them in Title VIII. But you got to force them to do it. And I'm looking for a good, strong litigator who wants to become a state citizen. Who's German, England, somebody who understands the law. You know what I mean? Been here for a long time. You know? And we're going to go to state court and make the state start doing what they're supposed to be doing. I tried to work with a couple different people. And I got through the first step and the second step with them, then they wimped out on me. It's a long, drawn-out process, you know what I mean? But you've got to, the laws are there, and we just can't do everything, you know what I mean? I can't do anything by myself. It requires more than one people. Like him doing something, him doing something, him doing something. Everybody's got to do a little something so we can all work collectively to put this state back to where it belongs. And it's very easy to do because the laws say we can do it. Write this court case down. This is the most important court case. It's never been overturned. Ex parte Frank Knowles, 5 Cal 300. Read it over very thoroughly, and you'll see the limits of the federal government. It's been distinguished out after the 14th Amendment, but it's never been overturned. It's been objected to, you know what I mean? But it's never been overturned. It's still valid law. And I did an argument on a radio talk show with a college professor over this, you know. And he said, well, you're using old state law. I says, well, using old state law is what state... It's never been overturned. It's still valid. The United States Supreme Court goes all the way back to the Magna Carta. One time it went back to the 12th century and went their pleadings. So they use old law. And they say, well, that's old law. Then you turn around and ask them, you know what I mean? Does court cases have an expiration date? No court case has an expiration date, and very rarely are court cases ever overturned. They're distinguished out and reinterpreted, but they're never overturned. You got one court case that says, every citizen has a right to build a home on his own land. And you got another court case that says, no resident has a right to build a home on his own property. Exactly. Did this one, this is a newer case, did this one overturn this one? No. Because this one's talking about resident, which is an alien, and property. This one's called citizen and land. They use the right terminology. See, so once you understand the sequence of events and the right terminology, you're home free. See, here, 1883, after the 14th Amendment, listen to what the court said. This is McDonnell, M-C-D-O-N-E-L, versus State. May 1883, 90 Indiana, 320. Repeating, 90 Indiana, 320. The evidence of bushing on his voir dire showed that although he was not a citizen of the United States, he was a citizen and a voter of the state under Section 2 of Article 2 of our state constitution. One may be a citizen of a state and yet not be a citizen of the United States. And they said this in 1966, Crossey versus Board of Elections, electors. There's a whole... Listen to this one. Sharon versus Hill, 1885. Okay. Long site, but it's 26 Fed 337. Repeating, 26 Fed 337. Listen to what, I'm just going to read a little short paragraph here. The 14th Amendment does not make a resident in a state a citizen of such state, unless he intends by residence therein to become a citizen. Citizenship and residence, as often been declared by the courts, are not controvertible terms. One are not the same as the other. Citizenship and residence. Remember the first thing I did in elementary elements of law, you know what I mean? Right back here, 1885, saying the same thing. You follow me? Citizenship or residence. If you have a residence, you're an alien. I don't have a residence. I have a home. Legal distinction being made. So be very wary of the words that you use. Because if you use the wrong words, like the cop's going to ask you, right off the bat, where's your residence? I don't have a residence. I have a home. And he said, well, that's a residence. I'm sorry, sir. But... for legal purposes, residence has a different meaning than a home. So I just want you to know, because I'm going to ask you this when we get on the witness stand. Okay.
Something that I haven't been able to resolve is the 14th Amendment itself, the last few words of the amendment say he'll be a citizen thereof, of the state. And I don't understand. How do the two resolve?
There's a second-class citizen.
So we're talking about is
four classes of citizens here in America.
Was the federal state created before that?
No, they were a second-class citizen within the state under the protection of the federal government.
Yeah, it still doesn't resolve.
Here's another good one. Wadley versus Newhall, W-A-D-L-E-I-G-H versus Newhall, 1905, same year I was born. The rights, privileges, and immunities which the 14th Amendment for its affordments were designed to protect are such as belong to citizens of the United States as such and not for citizens of a state. So a state citizen has no civil rights. Title 42 doesn't apply to any state citizen. It's very simple, 1905. Got a whole Maxwell versus Dole. You know what I mean? There's thousands of court cases that say what we are. Citizenship and domicile are substantially synonymous. Okay? So when they took out domicile out of the word, out of California law, and called it residence, replace it with the word residence, making everybody a resident alien. Remember, we said that earlier in the law. So when you are a U.S. citizen, you are a resident alien in California. And how many people have researched the 1040 income tax return? Okay. The 1040 income tax return is the same as the 2255, the foreign earned income. Because you're in the country of California, and you have to, as foreign earned income. I can prove that. U.S. v. Slater. It's a court case. Come to my house tomorrow. Every Sunday, I have a free seminar at my house. You're welcome to come there, and starts at 12 noon. It goes till 3 o'clock. I'll give you 42 laws, show you a few videos, and educate you, and let you go home and read and weep. You know what I mean? Feel sorry for yourself. You know what I mean? I got no problem with that. See, here's 1949. Oh, for the audio tape? Yeah. My phone number at home, if you call me in the morning after 9, I'll be glad to give you directions on how to get to my house. The phone number is area code 818-703-5037. I'll give you directions out into my house. It goes from 12 noon to 3 o'clock. And it's every Sunday I have one. So please call me and I'll give you directions. This is Alla versus Cornfield, 1949. Alla versus Cornfield. The site on it is 84 FedSup 823. Listen to what the court said. Don't argue with me, argue with the court. There is a distinction between citizenship of the United States and citizenship of a particular state, and a person may be the former without being the latter. To be a citizen of a state so as to sue or be sued in the courts of the United States, the persons must have a domicile in each state. If a person establishes his domicile in a foreign country, he loses his state citizenship, but not necessarily his United States citizenship. So
which citizenship are they referring to in the United States citizenship? Under the
14th Amendment? You'd be protected under your passport.
Not a 14th Amendment
system. Yeah. You'd be under the original Constitution. If you're a state citizen, then you would lose it. See, they try to think like people. Most people don't understand. There are two citizens of the United States. Which one are you talking about? The one in the Constitution or the one under the 14th Amendment? Always ask for clarification. Are you a citizen of the United States? I might be. Depends on who's asking, what, which law you're referring to, which one, where, what circumstances. You know what I mean?
We're just about out of time. There's about 20 minutes of this left. Didn't get to all of it, but you get the idea what Richard is talking about. We are out of time, so I will see you guys next week, or I'll see you Friday on Granada Forum. So stay tuned, everybody. Remember, if you can't be good, be bad. Talk to you later. Bye.
Is the truth jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.